Skyhawks fans, it's time for Talent Talk. Go behind the scenes with Bob Bonner for a bird's eye view of Fort Lewis College athletics. Hear what makes our coaches and athletes soar. And find out how the Skyhawks are taking it to the top.
Welcome to Talent Talk, the Fort Lewis College Athletics Department new podcast, where we introduce you to everything Skyhawks and do a deep dive on our programs with our coaches and athletes. I'm your host, Bob Bonner, and I'm joined this week. I'm also joined by senior hitter Shay Swinson this week and junior libero Sarah Wilkie. Thank you, girls, for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty excited. We got the new format. We can all kind of visit together. I'll start it off. We'll go easy on the players, and I will start it off with you, G. Coming off a big weekend right now. Got a big weekend coming back home, but picking up two wins in a regional pod down in New Mexico this weekend over Adams State and in New Mexico Highlands. You guys, after hosting a tournament, had to play four straight games on the road. Getting those two wins this weekend before you came home has got to have you feeling pretty good with these two games coming up.
Well, I think a win is always feel good, and it definitely feels good to win on the road. We have been performing quite well at home, and you have that home court advantage. So performing well when we travel is really important. It's not easy. You're kind of, you fight for that rhythm. You have the natural rhythm at home where you go to classes, you go to practice, and you don't have that when you travel. You have to deal with all kinds of unforeseen circumstances, which was the case in our game on Saturday against Highlands. We had to push our game to a little bit later time because the football game was rained out and we didn't have the staff there. But I feel like the team did an excellent job really just preparing for the match, and it seems like they were ready to go from 0-0. And of course, we're very excited to be at home in front of our crowd, and it's always fun to see our fans, and we're hopefully continue the momentum.
And the momentum leads to what, you know, we hope, and Shay and Sarah, you've been around, you know, for a couple of years now too. We hope to break through this year and be in the RMAC playoffs. You're gonna have string wins together and win conference games on the road. Getting those last week, what was I saw the Adams State game. They pushed us to an extra set, but yeah, it just seemed like you guys really rolled on Highlands. Did you feel like you got a rhythm on Friday night and just carried that over Saturday, even with the late start, or did you just drop a set? Because sometimes you drop a set on Friday night, and you just played pretty well on the road all the way around. Which was it?
I would say that this weekend was a lot about finding our rhythm on the road. Our first conference trip didn't go quite as well as we'd hoped, but this week we were able to kind of figure out that rhythm a lot better. And so I think sometimes you just drop a set, but finding that rhythm too, and really just coming out and crushing it on Saturday was super fun.
Shay, you've got to be a master at finding rhythm. Injuries you've had, I've been fortunate. I've been here basically since you got here. And unfortunate, the fact, or you've been unfortunate with some of the injuries you've had to struggle through. And yeah, so finding a rhythm for you throughout your college career that's had to be a bit of a challenge. I really admire you as an athlete because you just accept whatever role you're given. It seems like you take whatever lumps you've had thrown at you. You've had a really interesting college career. They say, you know, the type of career that I no doubt has built quite a bit of character for you, but maybe wasn't always that fun. Do you feel like it's been a valuable experience? And then speak a little bit about the rhythm thing.
Absolutely, it's been a valuable experience. I think that it's been a really fun 4 years so far, and getting to come every day after a redshirt season and just be at practice, be able to practice. Or I just was talking to somebody the other day about putting on the jersey before the game. That wasn't something I got to do at all last year. So just being happy for every moment and really just being happy to be here is a really cool perspective. And it's been so, so, so fun. Our group of girls this year is so amazing. They are full of laughs and good times and obviously great volleyball. So I think overall it's been pretty easy to find a rhythm with the environment and the people that I've been surrounded by.
You've put the disappointments behind you pretty quickly. You're more thrilled that you've got this year opportunity than you don't waste a lot of time being disappointed about the lost opportunity from a year ago.
No way. I think that that's a little bit pointless because we have so much to get done this year and lots of good things ahead.
I see you're just grinning from ear to ear. I know I've visited with you enough that this is exactly the kind of attitude you want to instill in players. So has the program instilled this attitude in Shea, or did Shea bring this to the table? Is this the person that she brought to Fort Lewis?
I'll tell you, Shea is one of a kind, that's for sure. I mean, you started with Shea, I started with Shea as well. Her freshman year, my first year, and what a year it was, since it was a COVID year. And so it feels like you've been through a lot, and you're not wrong when you said that she's been through a lot, but it's so inspiring to have players who just have a great attitude and just attitude of gratitude. Let's just put it that way. And I think, you know, you have that saying where athletes play for the coaches. Well, I choose to coach players who inspire me, and I am definitely inspired by the athletes that we have now in the program, and Shea's definitely included. Also Sarah, she battled injuries as well. I just was smiling because I realized somehow I got two injured athletes comeback players on this podcast, which is exciting. And that's what you want in sports. You want to have the triumphant story instead of thinking of all your setbacks. What are you going to do about it? And to see them blossom and really compete for a starting position and start, and it's not a permanent role all the time, but just to use that experience where they had those setbacks and continue to compete and have a great attitude. That's all you want as a coach. So it makes me extremely proud to have that kind of culture in our group.
Now, G just referenced culture, Sarah, and this is something, you know, the libero is still, I'm old enough to think the libero is still a relatively new position, at least being defined as it is in volleyball. I remember when there wasn't a libero. But that,
me too.
It's kind of like, sorry, or let me know, maybe I'm out of line by saying this. It seems kind of like the catcher in baseball or softball, or the goalie in soccer or hockey. Where it's a little bit different position. You're called on to do different things from what anybody else on the floor is really asked to do. At least that's all you do. You have this single-minded focus on dig. It takes, I've always thought that, I know being a catcher, being a goalie takes a different kind of mentality. Is that true of liberos, or are y'all just a little bit different?
I think it is a little bit different. But before I touch on that, I would also like to agree that Che is so good at, no matter what her circumstances are, she is a constant in other people's life. And I think that is such an incredible quality, as she's like talked about, like going through all the things she has. And like, I never have a doubt in my mind that she, like, she could be like bawling, but she would be like, are you okay? Like, she's just that type of person. And so having that on our team, I think has been such a huge influence on our culture. But on the libero thing, I am fairly new to it as well. Actually, I didn't start being libero until last year. All throughout my high school, I was an outside hitter. And so transitioning into this mindset and like how it's, I mean, it's still volleyball, right? But it's definitely a way different mindset. And like, I never, you know, covered people when they hit when I was an outside, and just like this whole different perspective of just like, I think you kind of carry on the role of like, don't worry, like I'm right there, you know, like you shank it, I'll go get it. You hit in the block, I'll get it. And so I think it's just something that what I've had to realize is like, I can't like really allow myself it to be about myself, because it's just like, and it's so easy to just be about other people, which I love. I love, absolutely love that role that I have on the team, and being able to support my team. Like, honestly, I never was able to before. And this is just like, I kind of just get to sit back and watch. And like, obviously I'm playing, but like, I just get to watch all of them and just contribute, you know? And yeah, I can't get a kill, but like, oh, it's incredible when, like, I think my best day of volleyball, it was Highlands last year. And I just, like, Alexis was listening to me where I was telling her to hit. And I just, like, literally whispered tip. And she tipped and, like, we won the game. It was a crazy game. But, like, it's definitely a different, it's a way different mentality. But honestly, I never thought that I would fall so much in love with it. And I'm so thankful that I have, and for the opportunity to be able to be that for my team.
I've got to tell you, might only been doing it for 2 years, but from where I'm sitting right now, you were born to do it, because you literally just sounded like every catcher and goalie I've ever heard talk about play their position with it. Everybody's in front of me. I'm there to support. I see it all. You confirmed what I said about thinking that the position probably requires a lot of the same instincts and mentality. Now, Sarah, I do have to say though, I didn't know you were an outside hitter. As someone who scouted her and everything, I mean, you must have been some kind of a freak athlete. I've never even seen you hit before, but because of your height, and I just naturally assumed, oh, she was born a libero. If you were an outside hitter in high school, you must, man, during warmups or something, one of these times you got to let Sarah hit so I can see it.
Oh, she swings. She had some opportunities. I think she should surprise some people. It's like, I've seen Sarah play since her freshman year in high school. So I watch her journey, and just, I mean, our goal was never to really like that put her in one position and that was it. But just from seeing her progress, I think she's an incredible hitter, for sure. But she has something extraordinary in defense and serve receive that she brings. And I think it comes from experience, from playing a volleyball for a long, long time. And it's not something that can be really taught. It's just really the experience that does that for you. It's just reading the game. That's what I'm talking about. And Sarah has an extraordinary ability to read the game really well. So she positioned in the right spot, and it makes it extremely difficult for any hitter to score on her. And it's absolutely a selfless position. It doesn't have the glory of the hitter. You know, usually the hitter gets all the kills and all the glory, all the cheers. But defense is what makes the games happen. It's what changes the momentum, what shuts down the teams. And on top of that, Sarah is just selfless outside of volleyball. So for me, it was no surprise to put a selfless person, athlete, who can read the game. And I actually told her that I think she can really dominate the RMAC if she just embraces and goes for it. And she's been doing just that. She's been getting some career high numbers and defense. And I think she did an outstanding performance this past weekend, and it's just the beginning of the season. So I'm really, really excited. And of course, it makes me feel great that we're all kind of on the same page, and it definitely makes a difference for our team.
You know, I'd never thought of it before. You know, as an old football coach, we always said defense wins championships. Of course, secretly, we always coach an offense, right? But where you say that games are won and momentum is shifted on defense, really, yeah. I mean, I've never seen a long rally off of a great attack. Long rallies come from great digs, you know, blocks and stuff like that. So I hadn't actually thought about it before, but yeah, volleyball is sort of unique in that maybe there is more excitement generated from defense than from offense in the sport.
Well, I think now you can see it on social media. There's a lot of kind of like almost like a trend. You'll have a minute long rallies. And it wouldn't be because always a bad kill or a bad opportunity. It's actually the defense that's making it just impressive plays. And I mean, it's just exhausting watching something like that, because you're usually a volleyball rally, what, 5-10 seconds, and it's it. And then you watch it's going for 30 seconds, and it just really is exciting. And if you ever are in our gym or anybody's in our gym, you can definitely see how our crowd gets behind defense. Anytime there's an incredible dig, you can actually see people jump on their feet and it's like they're there on the court with you. So it's definitely is a momentum shift.
You talked about social media, and I think college volleyball is one of the hottest sports in the country, if not the world right now. Girls, talk to, you know, both of you, as I'd like to hear, what's it like being a college volleyball player in an era when 92,000 people came out to watch a college volleyball game in Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska? I thought, now I've been to a football game there with 92,000 people in the stands, and it was one of the most awesome things I've ever experienced in my life. I cannot imagine how incredible, because the noise in that place when they fill it, I cannot imagine what that game would have been. I've seen some of the stuff on social media and everything. I mean, you guys are volleyball players, college volleyball players, at a time when college volleyball is just has never been more exciting. Is that kind of cool? Do you see stuff like that and think about that? Jump in, Shay. Yeah.
We had a game just a couple weeks ago where about halfway through, we had an entire middle school team and more from Pagosa who showed up. And those girls sat in the stands and were louder than anybody else we'd ever had in our gym. And so I think that gave a little bit of perspective for us, because on social media from the Nebraska versus Omaha game, you see so many pictures of younger girls. And I think that's so important as college female athletes in a sport that's definitely getting more recognition as the years goes on. It's so cool to see how many little girls were influenced that night, that maybe they can do all of those big things, and that they, like, why not try? You know, I think that's very important. We talk a lot on our team about being like strong women, and that was a cool bit of perspective to kind of feed into that too.
Well, you talk about influencing those young girls. I think those young girls influenced the outcome of the match that night. To be honest, they brought an energy that it was one of the one. I'm a girl dad. I've got four daughters, and two, I just love sports. That's the, you know, I don't cry at weddings. I don't cry at funerals. I cry at sports movies. So seeing you guys on the bench start interacting in about the second set with those girls and flashing the hearts back and forth and all of that stuff was one of the neatest things I've ever seen or been a part of as far as announcing an event. Sarah, I mean, as a young girl, did you ever have that kind of a connection with role models or people that you looked up to in sport? Were you ever able to experience that from the young girl side?
Yeah, so it's actually a crazy story. My biggest role model is my sister's best friend. And my sister's best friend actually played for G at U of M. And so she was like all of my numbers in high school and club, or what she was in high school and club. And like, man, I just wanted to be her. She was totally a role model for me. And it was really awesome because we would get to go Missoula. I'm from Coeur d'Alene, so it's not that far of a drive to go watch a lot of their games. And so I did, and just get to watch those games and, you know, have her sign my poster and just kind of see how I've always dreamt of playing in college. And I think oftentimes we just get caught in the thick of it to forget that we're living a dream, and that there are little girls out there still who like are dreaming of that. And so I definitely was a big dreamer when I was little, and my biggest role model was my sister's best friend. And so it was really cool for me to live this out. And then, you know, she'll text me occasionally when she gets to watch a game. She's a mom of two now and works and stuff. But yeah, it's definitely, I kind of had that realization. I think our first home conference home games it was like during the national anthem. And I was like, wow, I am living a dream right now that I just dreamt like crazy about, and did extra summer camps and extra reps, like all so that I could be here. And so definitely it is so cool to honestly have younger people who look up to you. One girl, my roommate, Natalia, our setter, she said she overheard one of the girls like, I got the libero to sign mine. And like, kind of made me tear up. I was like, oh my gosh, how incredible. Like, we have so much influence on so many people. And so I think just like using that for good. And
so let's talk a little bit about culture. And about, as I said at the start, the, you know, the quest is your, I don't know, I've assumed it's the quest. I think we talked about it, you know, at the beginning of the year, let's get to the RMAX this year. That's, you know, that's where we want to go and get there, maybe have some success there. You know, what makes you believe that this is a group? Because I know you believe that. Why, what's different about you guys? What's going to give you that edge that you need to get over the hump? Shay, what do you think?
It's truly the people that we have and the people that show up every day. Like talking about Sarah in this position that she hasn't played for very long, but she is truly one of the most selfless people in such a selfless position. She is one of the biggest parts of our offense because she's telling us everything that she sees constantly. And I think that her presence is hand in hand with all of the other people's presence on our team who show up and they know what their job is and they do their job, but they also help you do yours of, hey, I'm seeing this from my perspective. Maybe that's worth trying for you. And so I think we all have each other's back so, so, so fundamentally, which is just such a beautiful thing to be a part of, especially during my last year, having a culture that we've worked pretty hard to get everybody on the same page for the last few years. And now it feels like it's all coming together. And it's been really, really fun. So I think our culture is just a beautiful thing to be a part of.
So it does feel a little different this year, though. It feels, but not like different. All of a sudden, we're better at this. Feels like different. You've progressed and grown towards this. And you feel like you've gotten there now?
Absolutely. We talk a lot about when people come into our program, and at the beginning of the year, how do you make sure that you show them by example, this is what we do. And our incoming class was so receptive to coming from all different backgrounds. Like, okay, this is how we work best and we're the most successful. So everybody just immediately found a pretty good groove, I'd say, in figuring out, okay, this is the way to do it. And we became so successful. I think a lot of that also has to do with our eight returners. All eight of us are so strong in our ideas. And we worked really hard through the spring to form that kind of culture so that we wouldn't just be all lost and all over the place at the preseason when eight new people came in.
Sarah, you've stuck out. My broadcast partner, Rick O'Block, has started working volleyball games with me this year and started watching. He's really excited to be a part of it. He hadn't watched much college volleyball before this year. And you just absolutely stick out to him. I mean, what Shay was talking about, that just overwhelming positivity. Rick just sits there during games and goes, man, I don't know what it's going to take to get the smile off that girl's face. I mean, again, is that something you were born with, or is that something that, you know, the support of your teammates and everything helps you keep that smile on your face, or is it a little bit of both?
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, I think I've always just given my everything in volleyball and genuinely loved the opportunities I've had. But that being said, I think happiness is a very wavering thing. And I think that joy is different from happiness. And I've definitely had my times of struggling with joy, honestly, because who doesn't? But for me personally, I don't find my joy in volleyball. I find it in the Lord. And so I think that carries over into who I am on the court and makes my joy unwavering. And totally my teammates have the biggest influence on it as well. I think sometimes when I'm just like, oh, you know, I'm having a tough day, I genuinely just like look around at the people around me, and I absolutely adore and love playing for every single girl that we have on our team. And so I think for me, our team makes it easy to have joy. I think when we're playing, like, it's definitely been a thing that I, you know, struggled with here and there, but it was a little bit difficult for me in the beginning. I was figuring some things out. And I think as I've gone on, I just have kind of had to get through it and learn from it. And I think joy is really the biggest thing I can control on the court, off the court, on the court. And so if, you know, if that's what I can do for my team, I think joy is also infectious. And when you have joy, it tends to, hopefully, my intent is uplift people and not let them get to a place where they're really struggling mentally, because I've been there and you feel like every single teammate is mad at you and you're doing so terrible and stuff. So I think that joy just eases everything and reminds people that, you know, like, we are here for a long time. Like, this is so special what we have, like our culture, like, in like, even I'm taking advantage of every moment I have with Che, you know, because you never know how long people are going to be around, if they get injured, if they graduate, you know? So I think joy is just the biggest thing I can control. And so that's like what I try to give to my team, because that to me is just like how you help them, if, because you can't physically do anything for them, right? You know, but showing them that joy and not anger and yelling at them, all that stuff, I feel like that for me has shown to work and just shown my support the best.
You've got Choose Joy from King Country on your playlist, don't you? If you don't, you need to get it on your playlist, because that sounded exactly like that song. Gee, these girls are old souls. There's a better way to say it. Is that kind of a common thread? Or, you know, I mean, Travis Whipple talks about graduating champions. And to me, that talks about the quality of a person and their character. These are two young ladies who are obviously quality people. I mean, that's, how fun is it to go to work every day with a group of girls like this?
It's actually surreal. It's actually probably my favorite part of the day is when we go to practice, because just even today we had practice and I say, oh, this is the biggest smile I had yet thus far today, because it just, everything melts away and you forget all the meetings, all the other stuff that you have to take care of, and then you're just present. But I think it starts with really getting to know the players that I'm trying to recruit for the program. And I think we all come from different walks of life, different backgrounds. I know for sure I even come from a different country. So it's about, not about our differences, it's about what keeps us together. And I think what does unite us is our values. And I think every single player on our team values hard work. They're selfless. They want to achieve the results, but they want to do it the right way, by really supporting each other and cheering for each other, whether they have the role that they want or not at the moment. And I think that creates the joy that Sarah and Che mentioned, and the culture that you want as a coach. And they still challenge each other, they still push each other, but it's done in a way that's very, I'd say what you said, you know, old souls are mature. That's, and it comes, I think, with the adversity that they had to deal with, and not just what is it in for me. It's about how we're going to do this as a group, because to me, volleyball is an ultimate team sport. You really actually can set to yourself and hit to yourself and do all that. You need your teammates. So you have to know each other and you have to trust each other. That's what they hear from me every single day. And that's what I practice every single day. And I think I received that back. But just to go back to the point that you mentioned about younger generation and inspiring younger generation. Just last year, I was at the ABCA convention, the coaches convention. And at the halftime, they made a really just a great presentation. So Title IX turned 50. And on one side of the court, there were women who influenced Title IX and had a big say in it. And then you had on the other side, a younger generation, which is the next generation. And the women walked to the middle of the court towards the net, and they shook hands and they exchanged letters and just kind of passed down the torch to the next generation. And that moment was emotional for me, because that's something that I believe in, an empowerment of young women. And to see our group support each other like that, that's all I could ever ask. That to me is a victory. And even just as recent as this weekend, this past weekend, we were away from our own court, yet we had four young athletes, probably 10 to 12 years old, come up after the game and just tell me, "You have an amazing group of young women." Like, they said, just like, they were awesome. Of course, the 10-year-old and 12-year-old wouldn't say it like that, but it's just how they express it. I said, they just were so inspired. And the next day they came and watched again, and our team gave them high five, and everyone in the stands were just watching us. And I just thought, yep, we stole your fans, because we're just that kind of team. So it's definitely inspiring. And I think, to answer your question that you've asked, this group does feel different. And I think it's just, it's for returners to put in the work to change the culture, to turn the program around, to start winning, to compete, and for the newcomers to come in and give that energy and the boost that we need. Also, just the force as together to take it to the next level. That's inspiring, and it's exciting, and it's just, it's great to see when everything comes together.
You talk about inspiring a following on the road. You know, that doesn't just work for you in terms of pulling a few more cheers into the gym that night. That's got to be good for recruiting too. So keep that up, girls. there's nothing like sending smiling ambassadors into hostile territory to start filing up recruits. Yeah, okay, we've talked about the setup. We've just got about 3 minutes left. G, I'm gonna hit you with this one. You know, the term in volleyball, there's no sport, I don't think, anywhere where momentum plays as big a role as volleyball. I've shared that with you before, G. Within the context of just one match, right? The term is roll points, right? To take that next step and get into the RMAX this year, sort of looking at the schedule, you know, is there a point when you've got to roll wins this year to get over the hump? And is this that point? You've got a couple in your pocket. You're at home now for a couple of games. Team's got long road trips to make. You know, do you think about that the way you'd think about, let's roll points in a match? Or do you just keep taking it a game at a time?
Well, we definitely were inspired. And I'll speak for me, but I actually used a reference from the very famous show, the Ted Lasso. And so we embraced the goldfish mentality, meaning that no matter win or loss, whatever we experience, we're going to learn from that experience. I think it's just natural tendency for people to reflect after a loss way more and then after a win, but that's not the case in with our team. So we definitely taken one game at the time. The schedule has changed this year, and every single team has to win head to head this year. There's no second chances in order to make it to the RMAC. So every single point, every single set, every single match matters. And in our conference being as strong as it is, I don't think you can predict wins, or there's no such a thing as an easy win, or I think it's just all hard battles. And that's what we do every single day. We keep preparing, and I keep challenging the team. And the best thing is when our 2 hours of practice are up and you have your players quietly try to plead with you to get 5 more minutes in to get on another point of competition. And it's kind of fun saying no, but it's definitely puts a smile on my face and makes me happy that they want to do more.
So Black Hills State, South Dakota Mines, coming into Wayland this weekend, couple of big games, pack the gym with middle school girls or fans who want to act like middle school girls for a couple of days and see if we can bring the energy and help you guys chalk up a couple more wins this weekend.
Well, one of the things that we're very excited, our Saturday match is our N7 game, which is the first time. So we're making history with our Nike N7 game, and we're excited to recognize our school's heritage and background and our athletes who are Native American. And so hopefully we'll get a lot of support in that match particularly.
Awesome. I'm excited. We'll be broadcasting those games on live stream as usual, and I'm looking forward to that. Sarah Wilkie, Shea Swenson, thanks so much for joining us. I hope you guys had fun.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. Gee, always a pleasure. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, Bob. Great talking to you.
All right. We'll see you this weekend. Thanks for joining us on Talent Talk. Until next time, keep soaring, folks, all the way to the top.